Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, welcome to a special Wednesday night edition of the Saints Happy Hour podcast. This one is free because of our great sponsor, MyBookie. I get asked all sorts of questions about who is to bet on, who you should bet on, who you should bet with. Here's the thing. I don't know who's going to win, but I know where to go to make your bet. The answer is MyBookie. Between their live in-game betting, endless props, and fantasy sports wager, there's something for everyone. With the best player perks in the sports book business, they've been good to us, and I know they'll be good to you. They're hooking up our listeners all month. Visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code HAPPY25 when creating your account to claim your 50% bonus. Laying down 100, you'll get an extra 50 in play. That's mybookie.ag, promo code HAPPY25. You play, you win, you get paid. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Andrew. Dave is going to join us in. Dave's here.
So we're all here. I'm curious. Do you guys hear the tea kettle this time, or are we good with that?
I do not hear the tea kettle yet. It could make an appearance later.
I'm in my car and my Bluetooth, unfortunately. So
that's perfect. You sound fine, Dave.
You actually sound better than me on my Bluetooth. That's for sure.
Here's the thing I said to Andrew. Dave, when we got the first month of the schedule, I said,
I said,
if the NFL and Roger Goodell hated the fucking Saints and they wanted to devise a schedule to murder the Saints season in its crib before it hit October, this is the schedule they would fucking build.
He did say that.
Texans at Rams, at Seattle, host Dallas on Sunday night. That is a fucking murderer's row of a first month.
Houston
was 10 and 6 and has a top 10 defense. Okay. You that combined schedule is 43 wins in the first four teams.
Well, you know, normally I would say it sucks because, well, I don't know. You know, the Saints really need to, as we've seen in the past, it's always been very crucial. Any season under Sean Payton where the Saints have gone off to a bad start and been able to salvage the season and gone to the playoffs. I mean, you know, usually they'll lose 4-4. I mean, I guess you're right. It's tough. Obviously the Rams or whatever. Let's talk about the Rams in week 2. Let's talk about that. Interesting that the NFL would put the Rams game, the Saints Rams game. That's going to be a replay of the NFC Championship game. Interesting that they put it at 3:25. And just a regular noon game, not a primetime game, even though the Saints have like 5, 6, whatever primetime games.
You didn't even get the best part. The Saints have to go to the West Coast on a short week because they're playing on Monday night the week before. Right.
So I love that. Let's not make that a prime. Let's bury the no call. Let's not talk about it as much as possible. let's try to put it away. Hopefully nobody notices. It'll just be a regular afternoon game. We don't want it to be on prime time. We don't want everybody to be talking about it. We don't want to make a big deal about it because we fucked up and we know it. We don't want to talk about it because we're babies. Unbelievable. I cannot believe that that is not, I cannot believe that's not like either the opening game or the Monday night game or Sunday night game. They buried it. They buried that game on purpose.
And by the way, if the Saints are not psyched about going to the West Coast, or if they're not, if they're thinking about going back to New Orleans after that game, we're just going to go ahead and put at Seattle the next week.
Right. So they're just going to wind up probably staying out there. You think they're going to come
back? 100% staying out there. 100%. I would be stunned if they because the thing is that trip to Seattle is so long, right? So you know, it's the flight to LA is what, 3.5 hours. The flight to Seattle is almost 5 from New Orleans, probably longer. So that I'll be stunned if they're staying out in California for a week, I think, and then going to Seattle. But here's the thing, Dave. I think
we got a Peanuts dad in the chat room. He's listening from Maui. I went to Maui on my honeymoon.
Why are you listening from Maui? It's like 3 o'clock. I hope he's on the beach. But thanks for listening. We appreciate it. But here's the thing, Dave.
It's also like noon in Hawaii right now.
So
I hope he's drinking a pina colada.
Here's the thing with the Saints. I think it's a little bit of both, Dave. I think the NFL did kind of want to bury the Saints and the Rams. But remember, too, Fox, I believe, because of their TV contract, they get to pick 5 games first. Like, Fox says, we want these 5, and primetime, you can't have them. So I believe Fox held that game and said wanted it. But
just muted yourself like 5 times in a row there.
Oh, did I? I think that's my connection. But so I just think the NFL, the Fox gets to save 5 games, right? That they don't want to put on prime time. But I think so. Fox kept the game, but I think the NFL moved the game early intentionally to do what Dave said and bury it. Because if that game is like week 10 and the Saints are like 7-3, 8-2, and the Rams are 9-1, it's a huge game, right? And then they just go hog wild on the call. But because it's week 2, I think Dave's right. I don't think it'll be as big a deal, the call.
No, they're trying to bury it.
You know?
They're making it a week. They don't want it week 1 because week 1 is exciting and it's the start of the NFL season. They want it week 2 after the initial buzz of the season has worn off. No one gives a shit about week 2. It's a 3:30 game. It's not prime time, and like it's totally going to be buried.
I haven't looked at other teams' schedules, but I could tell you there is not a team that has a harder first month than the Saints. It's not possible. I wouldn't think, you know, because I don't think any team plays 4 straight 10-win teams to start the year, you know. So
let's talk about the Falcons game, Atlanta. Thanksgiving again. Is this becoming like the new Thanksgiving tradition? Is it going to be Cowboys, Lions, and then Saints, Falcons every Thanksgiving? I kind of like it.
I wouldn't mind. I wasn't stunned, Andrew, that the NFL tried to fuck the Saints out the gate. But I was stunned that the Saints, Falcons was on Thanksgiving again. Like that stunned me.
Especially because the Thanksgiving game was not that great this past year. I mean, it's an exciting rivalry, and normally that game is good, but it's not like Saints-Falcons in New Orleans was so amazing that, you know, it was like, oh, we should do this again. But maybe the ratings were good. Maybe they decided, do it again.
It's football. Yeah. The ratings were amazing, I'm sure. Here's the thing that me personally, I wish the Saints started every year and ended every year with the Falcons, because when you start the year with the Falcons, we get to talk shit to them all summer. It makes the opening game really exciting. And then when you play them in the season finale, no matter how your season has gone, you're excited for the last game of the year because you're like, well, even though we can't go to the playoffs or whatever, we got to fucking beat Atlanta to wrap this thing up on a good note. So I wish every year the Saints would open and close with Atlanta. Where it is, I wouldn't really matter. They could alternate it every year. But that's how I wish the Saints-Falcons series would go. Andrew, is there anything else that caught your eye about the schedule besides the brutal start?
I like the bye. I like the bye placement. So that actually felt really good. I feel like, you know, week eight. So it's like right smack dab in the middle of the season. And I did feel like that was, you know, kind of a needed rest, but too often the Saints bye is early in the season, like week five, yeah. Week six. And so, this felt a little later in the year, which I liked. I was really nervous about going to Chicago later in the year. So I was also very relieved to see that's happening on October 20th. So the coldest game the Saints will have, I mean, really after the bye, they only have four road games. And one of them's at Tampa and one of them's at Atlanta in a dome. So really at Tennessee on December 22nd and at Carolina on December 29th, those are their two cold games to yep. finish the season. I'm not psyched about that because I always go home for Christmas, and usually if there's two home games during Christmas time, then I make both. So that really sucks because this year the December 22nd and December 29th games are both on the road.
Well, the opening game Monday night, it's Houston, so it'll be fun for me because I live in Houston. Not that – I mean, it's in New Orleans, but just Saints and Texans will be fun. Hopefully the Saints will win and I can talk shit. But it sucks that it's on Monday night because then it makes it really hard for me to go since I live in Houston. And I don't like that 6 o'clock – it's going to – what, it's a 6 o'clock kickoff, right, Dave? Isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the first of the two 6-10. Opening weekend Ugh. Monday night games.
No, my son will be happy about
that. Monday
night
game. They'll have a second Monday night game on the West Coast after that.
That's we, gonna be
So I'm going to need to figure out what games I'm going to go to. My wife's brother is getting married.
My wife.
A little late on that one, buddy.
Yeah,
a little late on.
October 19th, he's getting married, so I'm going to have to find a bar in Austin, Texas to watch the Chicago Bears game, but at least that's on the road. I'm thinking about going back on November the 10th for Saints
Falcons.
That's
the day before my birthday.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm looking at this Saints schedule. I'll have to see, you know,
my wife,
since she's a wedding planner, what her wedding schedule will look like in the fall. I'd love to go to Dallas. If Arizona picks Kyler Murray, I will probably try to attend that game just because he interests me to play. Atlanta Sunday at noon, that's going to be that's probably the one that I'll definitely go to.
Yeah, I'm going to that one.
So I mean,
talking about November 10, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have the good thing for the Saints. A lot of their home games. I mean, I know they have three primetime games at home: Houston, Dallas, and the Colts, right? But last year, man, they had a lot of 3 p.m. kickoffs, which if you're traveling to the game, the 3 p.m. kickoff makes it very difficult to get a flight out
back,
if you need to,
yeah.
You need to work on Monday. So I'm very excited that they have a lot of 12 p.m. kickoffs. Now, Flex can, of course, screw that up. But I look at their games late in the year for Flex possibilities. I mean, I guess it could, but I mean, San Francisco's not going to be any good. I think Carolina's going to be not any good. So I don't see the potential for flex for games getting flexed maybe in the prime time. But I guess, mm-hmm. Dave, they do flexes where they'll move a game to prime time and then they'll move a 12 game to 3. So I guess that could still happen.
A couple comments. So I'm looking at the chat real quick, and a couple guys corrected us. The brown bag and ninja coordinator. Our bye week is week 9, not week 8. So even better. Snap dab in the middle of the year. Yeah. You know, a couple of them, let's see, Ninja Coordinator asked, how would you feel about 4-4 going into the bye? You know, I would expect a better record than that. I'd be disappointed in that. But what I will tell you is those first four games, you know, we just mentioned how tough they are. And Ralph and I were talking about this earlier. I really feel like the Saints have to go 2-2. If they go 2-2 in those first four games, then I feel really good about how the season goes. If they go 3-1 or 4-0, then, I mean, you know, they'll be hosting a playoff game. 2-2, still everything to play for, but, you know, it's so tough that the Saints have this bad habit with Sean Payton of playing poorly in week one. And, you know, I'm nervous about 1-3 because
they haven't
then
won a season opener in 5 years. The last season they won was Atlanta 2013.
I just feel like 1-3, it's an uphill battle, and you know, then they're chasing a wild card at best.
They go 1-3, then the best case scenario for them, Dave, is going to be 9-7, 10-6, and you're going to be either fighting your way for the 5-6 seed, or you're going to be the 4 seed in a crappy division.
Because just the threw NFC up South a little bit in my mouth.
Now, I mean, you know, I will say this, like we're all complaining about the schedule, and I feel like we do that every year.
Last year we were like, no, Tampa remember to start, we were, man, Cleveland, so, the Giants,
so,
man,
it's so easy to start, it's but a layup man, line. We better start 3-1 because it gets so hard. Remember, we were complaining about that, but here is what I want to say about the schedule. If you look at Tampa, okay, you think we're complaining. Tampa has a home game on September 22nd. They don't play at home again until November 10th after that.
What the hell?
They are not at home from September 22nd to November 10th. Listen to this. At Rams, at New Orleans, against Carolina, in London, bye week, at Tennessee, at Seattle.
That sucks. And you know what? That
five,
that
it's 6 weeks in a row. I mean, one is the bye, but the other five are on the road with two on the West Coast and one in London.
I mean, that's bad. That's also bad for like ticket sales, because even though your home games are at the end of the year, right?
It's Tampa.
It's Tampa, and they'll be their season could be shot, and then
you mean their season will be shot?
Yeah, their season will be shot, and their stadium will be empty. They were literally giving away free tickets to their season ticket holders last year. They were like, "Hey, you're a season ticket holder. You have two season tickets. Here's two free tickets to the next game." Like that
sounds like they'll be doing that again. Sounds like they'll be offering 4 free tickets this time.
So Dave had to run, but I mean, what do we have in the chat room as far as questions, Andrew? I mean, Dave. I mean, Andrew. Sorry, I'm really confused tonight.
In the chat room?
Yeah, in the YouTubes.
Not too many questions. We're getting a lot of comments. Although we have set 18 people watching now, so yeah, if you're in the chat, I mean, we're looking to answer some questions. So
and listen to this. You know, we're doing more stuff on the YouTube channel. Me and Andrew are trying to come up with some concepts where we'll be doing shorter videos, but we've got a ton of stuff on the YouTube channel. Go there. Thanks to almost 400 people that tuned in to the podcast through, you know, about 120 something listened live to a part of it when we live streamed it, but it's almost to 400 on the YouTube channel. So you find us on YouTube if that's how you want to consume the podcast. Find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter. We're everywhere.
All right, we got a couple comments here. Early Hour Bandit, he makes the comment that the Indy game is intriguing as hell. You know, that one's interesting because it's a nationally televised game, and on some level, I'm not sure I get it. You know, Andrew Luck versus Drew Brees, I guess, it was a former Super Bowl matchup, but I don't know, like that's just not really a rivalry. It's just kind of a token AFC versus NFC. So I agree intriguing.
I guess the thing is for you know, for ESPN, when they try to pick those late season games, you know, like I said, look, you know,
they want teams in the mix.
You know, they want, you know, Fox gets to pick the games they want, and then CBS gets to pick the games they want, and then, you know, Monday Night Football and NBC fight over them, and they have certain picks. But if you pick that game in December, the thinking for ESPN is, one, it's Drew Brees and Andrew Luck. So that's
we feel that's pretty compelling. Good. That's going to be that's a compelling. Game.
But yeah. Worst case scenario, one of them is in the playoff hunt. One of them is out of the playoff hunt, even if injuries or whatever happens. So it still could be a relevant game. The odds of it being, you know, two dog shit 6-6 and 9 teams is unlikely. Whereas, like, if you know, I haven't looked at how many primetime games the Browns have, but the Browns, even though they have this loaded roster, they have the young quarterback in there, they're going to be the hot, trendy team, like, they're still the fucking Browns, right? So things could go off the rails. So you would be hesitant to, like, put the Browns and Tampa or the Browns and Carolina in primetime because you know that the wheels could come off, right? So I think that's the reason. I like the back half of the schedule, though, Andrew. I look at it, and I just see, you know, after the bye, you get Atlanta at home, you go to Tampa, you get Carolina at home, then you go to Atlanta, you get San Francisco. I mean, that's a stretch following the bye, 3-2, 4-1. I mean, I personally, like I said when Dave was with us, I look at Carolina, I think Carolina's in decline. I think we're starting to see the end of Cam Newton in that I don't – and look, you know me, Andrew. I'm like you. I hate Cam Newton. He's one of the players for the in the Saints division I love to hate. He's annoying and all that, but he's been very good, and when he's on like in that playoff game, he can be on fire and he's terrifying. But I just think when you look at his physical skills and the way he plays, I think his decline, Andrew, is going to be rapid. I don't think he's going to be like most quarterbacks in 2019 where they age gracefully because you can't hit them and they throw the ball away. Cam Newton, I think he's going to be a guy where he's just going to be like – it's going to be over, and it's going to be like, damn, it's over, and he's 30 – you know, and he's not that old. I think he's going to be that guy, and I think his decline has started. We'll play this tape back if they're like 8-1 in the middle of the year and y'all can laugh at me. But that's what I think. I'm actually more intrigued in the NFC South. I know you said their schedule's terrible, but Tampa, I think Bruce Arians is a really good coach. I'll be interested to see if he can pull Jameis Winston up to above mediocre.
I don't see it happening. I agree with you that he's a good coach, but I am not a Jameis Winston believer.
I'm not a believer either. I just know that, like, Bruce Arians is
I just think it starts between the ears, not with your physical talent, and I just don't think he has it. I really don't. Jeff, but we got a few more questions. Let's see. Ninja Coordinator wants to know, who do we pick to have on the current roster to have a breakout year? Dave, you got somebody you like?
Well, David had to hit it.
Oh, he's a goner. Okay.
I'm gonna say. He was the darling last year of training camp, and he was the darling early, but then he got hurt and sort of went into the witness protection program. Traquan Smith is a guy I think he's a potential guy that can catch 50 to 60 balls. He was really starting to come around. He caught a bunch of balls. He caught the pass that literally broke the record for Drew Brees. He was rolling. They were throwing him balls, but he got hurt. And a lot of times, you know, we think, oh, it's an injury, and he, you know, he's trying to practice, and then he's inactive and all this. But a lot of times, I find rookies have a hard time dealing with injuries because maybe they haven't had them in their career before in college or whatever, and they don't know how to deal with them, and it becomes a harder process. I think with him, he can be better. I think he's shown he's got the physical skills, and he's training with Michael Thomas. I think that's a good thing because Michael Thomas, say whatever you want about him, the dude works like a madman. He wants to be a star. He wants his $100 million contract, and I think Traquan Smith being around that will be a positive. So if I had to pick one, I'd pick him.
Yeah, I like that. Let's see. Trotter Nation 79 wants to know, will we finally win the first game this year? How do you feel about that Monday night against the Texans?
I mean, my thing with the Texans is, and I probably watch them more so than most Saints fans because I'm in Houston. The thing about the Texans, their defense is good, but they lost a lot of people in the secondary. They sort of did it. They lost Tyrann Mathieu. They got the corner from Denver, he was injured a bit, but when he's healthy, he's good. They don't really have a good running game. I don't think Bill O'Brien is a good coach, and Deshaun Watson can be very good, and he kind of runs hot and cold. But the Texans' offense, it's not really that well designed, I don't think. And a lot of times last year, it devolved into, "Hey, Deshaun, go do something, save us," you know. And they design runs for him. It's almost like when you play in the PlayStation, Andrew, and you have that one play, and you just mash the buttons to get the first down, you know, on the run and play. That's kind of what the Texans do. And they had the who's the receiver that just signed with New England that was with Denver that was really good?
Demaryius Thomas.
They had him, and he was actually coming on, but then he got hurt and was out for the year. I just look at the Texans. They are they're 10 and 6, but they're not, to me, they're not nearly as good roster-wise as the Colts. But Deshaun Watson, I hate to compare him to Fitzpatrick because he's been to the playoffs and he's won a national championship and that sort of thing, but he's a guy, man, he's in that same sort of run hot cold. And he's a guy that, you know, he could roast the Saints secondary. So, I mean,
my thing is, this is going to be a big test out of the gate for Marshawn Lattimore. You know, I thought he kind of came maybe a little complacent into the season last year, and he's going to need a good offseason, and he's going to need to come correct the first week of the season, because that obviously that's as tough as a test as he'll get all year against DeAndre. I'm hoping for a big bounce back year from him, and it's going to start week one. I think if he plays well and he can neutralize Hopkins, then I think that's a game the Saints win.
I mean,
let's see. Romeo De La Santa asks, have you ever seen 4 division games in a row before? I have to say, I have never seen that.
No.
It's kind of crazy.
I have never. I maybe it's happened. I can't remember it. It's crazy. I mean, you're gonna have basically, no matter sort of where the Saints are coming out of that bye, whether they're 4-4 or 6-2 or 7-1 or whatever, after that bye, those next 4 weeks are going to decide where they are in the NFC South. You know, that's just how it's going to be. If they come out, you know, and even if they're 4-4, they rock it and go 3-1, they'll be right back in it, maybe on the top. They go into the bye 6-2 and come out and go 1-3 in those 4 or 2-2, mm-hmm. It sort of will open it'll open it back up, and maybe teams can catch them. I mean, that's gonna decide that division. Not necessarily for the other teams, because obviously they probably won't be playing 4 straight division games. But for the Saints, that stretch in November, that's going to decide what happens for them in the NFC South, most likely, you know?
Yeah, Romeo De La Santa also asks, if Jared Cook has an above-average season, will the offense finish number one? I don't see that happening, Romeo. I think when you look at the Saints and what they've done this offseason offensively, I mean, Breeze is a year older. You replace Mark Ingram with Latavius Murray. I think that's a lateral move.
Tell the people you were drinking at a bar tonight, spewing negativity via text message at me for a good 30 minutes.
Well,
you were saying the offensive line is shot. Easton is trash. You were down in the dumps. Don't lie to the people.
I saw the schedule. I saw the schedule and I got a little sad because I'm like, man, we're attacking the schedule with Latavius Murray instead of Mark Ingram. And Max Unger is gone. And, you know, Cook is a nice addition, but he's 32 years old, man. I mean, yes, he's an upgraded tight end, but that's not really saying much. I mean, tight end was a wasteland for the Saints last year. So I think the offense will be top 10. I think it'll stay top 10. I definitely don't think it'll be number one.
You know, the one silver line, and look, you know me, they used to call me Ralph Saint Doom, you know, because I was always dooms and negative. But I felt like between 2014, 15, and 16, like being negative, like it was totally warranted. But I'm going to spin the first four games. If you want to spin it as a positive, which you got to do, right? You want to be it's the middle of April. We want to be positive. The good thing is, Andrew, if they can get through the offseason, if they can get through training camp with minimal injuries, to have all the big dogs of their schedule pretty much it's front loaded. If you said the schedule and you said pick out the best teams, I would say the Rams, Seattle, Dallas, and I would probably say Houston, even above Atlanta and Carolina, and maybe the only other one that's close would be the Colts, right? So the front loading of the schedule, if they can get to week one pretty healthy, to play all the big teams early before the injuries hit and attrition hits could be a positive thing, you know, because when all these, you know, like the Saints hit after November last year where they were beat up and you have offensive line injuries and all that sort of things, you know, maybe it's better to go to Seattle week three when it's more likely your offensive line is healthy than November 28th, right? So yeah, that's the only silver lining I can take of, hey, they're playing the best, they're playing the hardest part of their schedule in September. So maybe there's better odds of them being healthy.
All right, we got a bunch of questions, so okay, Give me one sentence answers, okay? I'm gonna spit three quickly at you. We need to catch up. So, let's see. Justin Bruce asks, is Traquan Smith better on the boundary? Do y'all like Meredith in the slot, or could we use a jump from Kirkwood, Carr, or a rookie there? So
you're the film guy. You answer that.
Well, he's asking a general receiver question, and I would just say, you know, Michael Thomas is going to do his thing, but I think it's fair to assume that Ginn is only going backwards. So whether it's Traquan, Kirkwood, or Traquan, Traquan, Kirkwood, or Meredith, I really think two of those three really need to step up and be good this year. And that may be too much to ask, but I think the offense is in trouble if two of those three can't give us something.
I'm going to give a sizzling hot take right now. Ted Ginn's not going to make the 53.
Because of injury?
Because I think
someone outplays him.
I think he's going to be nicked, and he's going to start slow in the preseason, and he's not going to make it. Like the Saints will injury settlement or whatever with him.
Early hour bandit wants to know, is Drew done after this year?
I say yes. I mean, because to me, I just can't see Drew Brees wanting to go somewhere and start over and learn a complete new playbook. And also, too, if he goes somewhere else, I'm not certain that he's going to be making $20, $25 million. And is he going to go to Denver, right? If, say, Flacco bombs or whatever. Is he going to go to Denver and play for $12 million? Maybe, but I don't know.
I don't see it. Yeah, I think this is it. I mean, we'll see. I think Brees is taking it year to year. I think if the Saints go 7-9 or, you know, they don't make the playoffs, yeah, then it's over for sure. If they make the playoffs but don't win the Super Bowl, yeah, it would depend. But I don't know. I think he's taking it year to year. All right, Ralph, let's run the air horn or the gong. I'm going to go game by game. Give me your quick 10-second assessment of each game, and I want, you know, win-loss, and then we'll count the record. At home Monday night against the Texans.
Saints win. Deshaun Watson is terrible.
At Rams.
Saints win. Look amazing.
At Seahawks.
Saints lose. Drew Brees looks atrocious, and the arm truthers come out in full force.
At home against Dallas.
Saints win. Drew looks kind of meh.
Okay, so 3-1, which is, as we talked about earlier, if you get through that 3-1, we're feeling good. Tampa at home.
Win. Saints give one of their A-plus performances.
Okay, 4-1 at Jacksonville.
Drew Brees looks bad again. Loss.
All right, 4-2 at Chicago.
Drew Brees looks bad again.
Loss?
Loss.
All right, 4-3 hosting Arizona.
Saints win. Drew Brees looks okay, but he's putting up the worst stats of his career. And we get two weeks of the Saints are 5-3, but my God, Drew Brees looks not great. The Saints are not a serious Super Bowl contender.
All right, so 5-3 off of a bye hosting Atlanta.
Saints win. Drew Brees looks fucking amazing. Not only that, on the Monday after, Dan Quinn gets fired.
Oh my God. You just went from dark to the most amazing season of my life. At Tampa.
Saints win. Taysom Hill scores a touchdown on a kick return and a punt block.
Saints host Carolina at 7-3.
Win.
They're really rolling now. 8-3 going into Thanksgiving against the Falcons in Atlanta.
Saints lose to whatever interim coach Atlanta has, and it's the highlight of Atlanta's season because weird shit happens at the end, like a Hail Mary or something, and it's the highlight of Atlanta's year, but they're like 3-8 or whatever. And they torment us for a couple of days on the Twitters, but we get over it because the Saints are still okay.
All right, 8-4 hosting the Niners.
Win.
9-4 hosting the Colts. Loss. On Sunday night.
Loss. Andrew Luck lights up a sort of beat up Saints defense.
9-5 at Tennessee.
A win, but barely. But the Saints defense is getting healthy, but Drew Brees is still kind of shaky.
10-5, last game of the year at Carolina.
The Saints lose at Carolina, and it costs them a bye, and it slides them to the 4 seed.
So you're going 10-6, 4 seeds still win the division.
Yes.
All right.
I think Andrew, their roster is still amazing. They're still deep. But I just think to churn out 13-3 back-to-back years is really, really fucking hard. And I just think they're going to have regression and they're going to have injuries at spots. And their depth and their awesome roster is going to pull them through. And they're still going to be fun and they're still going to be great. And they'll get to 10-6. It's just going to depend on their health and their playoff draw to see how it goes. But I just – to go 11-13-13 in a three-year stretch, I know they've done it before in 2009, 10, and 11, but Jesus Christ, it's difficult. What do you see before we get out of here?
You want me to go game by game or you want me to just give you my overall?
I'll go game by you. Houston Texans.
I think the Saints come out of the gates looking good. I think they'll take that game seriously. They know their beginning of their schedule's tough, so yeah, they take care of business there.
Texans. I mean, Rams. Rams.
Yeah, I just feel like this is karma. Saints blow them out.
All right, at Seattle.
I think Russell Wilson is fat and happy with his new contract, announcing it in bed with Ciara or whatever her name is.
With a completely different voice than he normally has.
Yeah, I feel like the 5 picks he's going to throw in this game at home are really going to hurt with that new contract and how much cap he's absorbing. Saints upset win.
All right. Dallas at home on primetime.
I think Dallas comes into this game 1-2. Amari Cooper is hurt. They score 3 points and lose 27-3.
Oh, my God. 4-0 on this schedule, man. I think the podcast would be amazing. Tampa Bay at home.
Jameis Winston is benched at halftime after throwing 3 picks. Saints win by 40.
Oh, my God. At Jacksonville.
Drew Brees looks like trash. He's sacked 8 times. The offensive line is terrible. Saints win 3-0.
At Chicago.
Mickey Loomis runs into the press box and pantses Ryan Pace in front of all of the executives. And it kind of foreshadows the rest of the game. Saints win by 12.
Arizona at home.
Kyler Murray gets his leg broken by – actually, he gets his Achilles torn in half by Sheldon Rankins, ironically. Saints win by 17.
Week off, then they go – they host Atlanta.
So what are we, 8-0 at this point?
We're 8-0.
Yeah, Ralph and I both go to the game, which at this point we're 8-0. We're walking on water. Nothing could go wrong. And the Saints lose on a last-second field goal.
Oh, I thought you were going to go 16. I thought you were going to go 16-0 at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa's terrible. Jameis is done. The experiment with what's the coach's name again?
Bruce Arians. He's putting Ryan Griffin.
It's a disaster. There's 4 fans at the game, and they're all Saints fans. Saints blowout win.
I love it. Carolina hosting.
Cam Newton is benched. They're rolling with Derek Anderson at quarterback, and they lose by 21.
At Atlanta, Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, so the Saints are furious about their loss to Atlanta. It's payback time. Matt Ryan is sacked 74 times. Julio Jones is escorted out of the building at halftime for fear of his life because he's had so many headshots.
The hype train. Andrew, that happens. The hype train will be rolling. San Francisco at home.
I'm going to say Garoppolo throws a couple of touchdown passes late to make it interesting. Saints win by a 2-point conversion at the end.
Colts at home Monday night.
Yeah, I'm with you. Andrew Luck pulls that off.
Okay, so that's 12-2. Tennessee at Tennessee.
I think they lose at Tennessee.
All right, 12-3 at Carolina.
Cam Newton's career is done. he's speared. He is sandwiched by Cam Jordan and Davenport.
Crazy pills.
Davenport and Jordan crush Cam Newton, and he's never the same. 13-3, and Saints get the number one seed. And the first game is they host the Rams, and on the last play of the game, the Rams make the game-winning field goal, except it's called back for a phantom false start. They kick again. It's good again, but there's a flag for holding, and then they kick it a third time, and it's no good, and the Saints beat them.
And McVay's head explodes, and he's just crying after the game, saying the NFL fixed it for the Saints.
Yep.
I love it. I love the fact that your season preview was 1,000 times funnier than mine. I feel like I have accomplished my goal. I've turned all of you people on this podcast, you go nothing but for the jokes. I feel like it's my proudest moment ever. So before we get out of here, because this episode would normally be for patrons only, but because of SeatGeek, we're able to give it to you free. I'd like to take a minute to talk about our friends at SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. The app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite games, concerts, or shows, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you were getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot marks a great deal. Yellow dot means a good deal. Red dot means not so great. Use the promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's 2 free beers at the stadium on SeatGeek. What are you waiting for? The promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. Because we did ads on this one, Andrew, it's free. But people should sign up on Patreon. It's $7 a month. We give you a Saints podcast every day. It's amazing. Sign up on Patreon by April 1st. You get a free beer koozie. Do it now. It's amazing. The schedule, Andrew, I feel like the schedule release really this year is, I'm more excited about that than the draft because the Saints have no picks.
Yeah.
And this is really going to, it's like giving me juice and helping me get through the dull period and getting me fired up for July getting here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I understand people getting worked up. But first of all, it's important to remember, look, Jared Goff blows out his knee in week one. And I mean, the second game is completely different. So we don't know what any of these games are going to be like. And right now it seems like it's really tough the first 4 weeks, but you just don't know what kind of state a team is in out of training camp, kind of injuries they have, how the chemistry is going. Every team is different year to year. I mean, every year we think we know what we're going to see.
We thought last year the schedule set up good to start. The first 2 weeks were they lost to Tampa at home. They should have lost to Cleveland, let's be real. In 2017, we thought the schedule was a disaster. We thought it was going to be so hard. They played at Minnesota and at New England, and it went like we thought. But then Ryan Tannehill had gotten hurt for the Dolphins, so they got to play Jay Cutler in London, right? Then they come home and – they went to Carolina and won. Then they got Jay Cutler in London, right? And then they played Detroit. Detroit was beat to hell on the offensive line. Stafford had injuries. Then the next week they play Green Bay. Oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers got carted off the week before. So like the schedule for the Saints in 2017, it looked very difficult at the beginning, but it fell like exactly perfect for them. So you just don't know.
You don't know. Yep.
How it's gonna go. The thing about the opening for the first month is the thing that makes me know that it's going to be difficult is all four of those teams have really good quarterbacks and they're not all going to be hurt, so that makes it really difficult. But like I said in my prediction,
is Dak Prescott good if he doesn't have Cooper though?
I don't think Dak Prescott is that good with Cooper. Like, good luck to Dallas Payne.
Well, you just said the first four games were very good quarterbacks, first three?
Well, you don't have like a rookie, or I would say Dak is like the 14th best quarterback in the NFL, 12th. You know, like you don't have like a rookie or even Chicago's Trubisky. You don't have a crummy quarterback like sandwiched in there where you like know that if the Saints play good defense, they're going to be fine. You know, so that's the concern there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it. I'll say it again. I really feel like it all starts with week one against the Texans and Marshawn Lattimore. To me, he's the key. If he comes into this offseason more motivated, playing better, and doesn't get a little complacent like I felt like he was last year, and he neutralizes Hopkins, I feel like it gets the season off to a good start and the Saints will be fine.
Yeah, and, you know, too, opening on Monday night, fans will probably take a PTO day Monday, get nice and drunk. People will still be fired the fuck up about getting screwed in the NFC Championship game. I think there'll be a carryover. I think the Dome will be really, really raucous on Monday night. So hopefully that can carry them and get them off to a good start. Because the last couple years, you know, it's the opening of the season, but nobody was really super pumped about Tampa, right? So I think the atmosphere will be electric that first Monday night game, and hopefully that'll help them. So look, you got a special Wednesday night podcast. You should become a patron and get so you can get the podcast every single day. But for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.
So November 10th, we doing it?
Yep.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.